Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Tzadi Dalid. We are holding on daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, a nun of his wife and children, and Lee Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Da Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the Mishnah is going to discuss when a person buys a certain amount of produce, how much psolas is he willing to accept in the produce? Meaning, I'm buying a sack of kernels of wheat. How much dirt can be mixed in to that sack of kernels of wheat? Where we're going to say that's an acceptable amount, and that I can't demand extra payment or return of some of my payment for that. The Gemara is then going to discuss whether the lokeach is willing to also accept some dirt. Meaning the Mishnah was talking about being mekabel tinofes, a certain amount of tinofes. What about afar? Is the person going to be willing to accept that as well? And the Gemara is going to discuss if there was too much dirt in there and more than the acceptable amount, and the lokeach insists on sifting it out. The lokeach says, "Whoa, this is unacceptable, so we need to sift it out." Then the halacha is that the mocher has to sift all of it out, and whatever he doesn't sift out, the lokeach gets reimbursed for, even beyond the part that's the acceptable amount. There's no longer any acceptable amount. Once it started out as too much, it all has to be 100% purified. So the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether that halacha, that they have to sift it all out once it's beyond the acceptable amount, is that halacha a din or is that halacha a knas? So the rest of the daf and going into tomorrow's daf is just going to be raya after raya, whether it's a din or it's a knas. Whether that halacha, we're going to have 8 rayas in total, whether that halacha, that once it was beyond the acceptable amount, that now the lokeach can insist that they sift every last impurity out of it, is that a din or a knas? 8 rayas, that's going to be the rest of the daf. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. Hamocher Perus L'Chaveiro Harezem Mekabel Olav Rova Tinofes L'Sa'a. That if a person sells Perus to somebody else, the Lokeach is willing to accept upon himself, together with the Perus, 1/4 of a Kav of Tinofes of undesirable we'll see soon in the Gemara what exactly Tinofes includes for each Sa'a of produce that he is buying. Because Stam Tavua comes in the amount of a Sa'a, will have a Rova Akav of Tinofa, so we assume that it's the Derech of a Lokeach to be Mochel, and that amount, that is an acceptable amount. Te'enim, if he's buying figs, Mekabel Olav, Eser Mitulaos Lemea, then he's the Lokeach is Mekabel Te'enim with in the amount of 10 that are somewhat worm-eaten for each 100 figs that he buys, because it's the normal thing that Te'enim have, some of them that are worm-eaten. The Ritva writes that Al Kolpanim, it has to be that the even those Te'enim are Roy La'achila, it's just that they're somewhat minimized by the fact that worms have eaten them, but if they're not Roy La'achila, then he's not mekabel on himself anything, meaning each te'ena is a davar chashuv. So he wouldn't say, I'm just willing to sacrifice 10 of the te'enim. He's saying that 10 of the te'enim can be subpar. They could be missing something because they're somewhat worm-eaten. That's how the Ritva understands. Martiv shaliayin, if he's buying a bunch of barrels of wine, a whole wine cellar, mekabel alav eser kosisos lemea. He's willing to accept 10 soured wines for barrels of wine for each 100 that for each 100 barrels that he's buying. But kankanim, if he's buying empty jugs b'sharon in a place called Sharon, mekabel of eser pitzos lemea, he's willing to accept 10 jugs that are not as strong and won't last very long for each 100 that are of for each 100 jugs that he buys. The other 90 should be of a higher quality, but 10 that could be much weaker and that aren't going to last very long. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses the first din in the Mishnah. You're buying a whole bunch of produce. You're buying a whole bunch of wheat. So how much tinofes are you willing to accept? So we said it was rovakav for each sa'a of wheat. So Tani Rav Katina, what we mean by a tinofes is rova kitnis l'sa'a, that you're willing to accept mixed in with your wheat is a quarter of a kav of kitnis, of beans in your in each sa'a, which was apparently a common theme, a common thing that that there would be a cross contamination of kitnis in wheat, and that's where the minhag of kitnis came from, that we don't eat kitnis on Pesach, because when they'd have kitnis, they'd also have, when you'd buy beans, that there would be some wheat that was mixed in. They would use the same bags to schlep all this stuff in from the field or from wherever they were schlepping it in from. So since they would often use the same bags, there were some wheat kernels that were often still left in the bags from the time they had wheat, and there were some beans from the time that they would be schlepping in the wheat kernels from the time they were schlepping in wheat to the time they were having beans, and vice versa. So we would often get mixed in. So if Katina said, when we say that you're willing to accept a quarter of a kav of tinofes doesn't mean dirt, it means kitnis, it means that you have some beans mixed in there. So ask the Gemara, dafka, when it's kitnis, va'afruris lo, do you mean to tell me that dirt would not be acceptable in that amount? Vama Rabba Barchia, katofsa, mishmeta Rabba, borer tzror migarno shel chavero, that you should sift out or clean out or sort out the dirt and the rocks, the pebbles from the grain that you plan on selling to somebody else. No sin lo demei chitin. The borer has to pay the balagoren the value. If you went and you sifted out someone else's produce that they wanted to sell, and you started pulling out all the pebbles, all the dirt, then you owe that guy money. You owe that mocher money demei chitin, the amount of whatever volume of dirt you pulled out. That's how, you have to pretend as if that's wheat and pay him for that, because he could have sold it as wheat. Meaning when he's selling a bunch of wheat, he's allowed to have a certain amount of dirt, a certain amount of pebbles in the mixture. So he could have passed that off as wheat, and that's perfectly mutter. He would have been able to sell that as wheat. Now that you pulled out all this dirt and you pulled out all these pebbles, he can't pass it off as wheat anymore. So now he's gonna have to actually fill that in with real wheat. So you're gonna have to pay him for that for that loss. You were mazik the balagoren, but you see that the idea of the giraon, that the lokeach is mekabel on himself, is even when it's actual dirt, because of the assumption of this halacha that you pay the dmei chitin when you're borer out the dirt is that he could have otherwise sold it. So you see that apparently he could have otherwise sold it. Now you might say, well, wait a second, if I cleaned out, I took out all the dirt from this mocher's wheat, and he comes to the taina, I could have sold that as wheat. So just let him take some more dirt and chuck it in and mix it in again, and then he'll still be able to sell it as wheat. Why do you have to pay him for that? So that's what the Rishonim point out. No, that you can't do. You're not allowed to lichalchila stick dirt in if you have an unusually pristine crop or something. So you're not allowed to purposely stick in some dirt to mix into it. It happens to be there's an acceptable amount that comes in the natural processing of the grain. The Rashbam says that the borer is considered an absolute mazik because those tsroros are actually worth money to the mocher. Meaning those pebbles, those rocks, those pieces of dirt, they're worth money to the mocher. He's going to sell them as wheat. So you took something that's valuable and you've ruined it. You've taken it away from him. And that's how the Ri writes as well in Tosfos Dibur Maskil Nosein, and that's what the Ritva writes as well. The Rashbam then suggests that since the tzoros themselves aren't really worth anything, it's hard to call the guy a mazikam, meaning what he's removing is dirt. If you were to take that dirt and put it in a separate bag and say, how much would someone be willing to pay for this? The answer is nothing. It's garbage. So the chiyuv must not be a real chiyuv of mazik mamish, it must be midina de garmi, because the halacha is like Rameir that we're do'in dina de garmi, that we do that in somewhat indirect damage, as long as it's more direct than grama, or it's a higher level damage than grama, so it's garmi, so then a person is going to have to pay, similar to sorif shtarosof shel chavero, which just seems to be a good analogy, right? Sorif shtarosof shel chavero means a guy has a shtar that says that someone owes him $1,000, and I go and I burn that shtar. So the shtar, the paper itself isn't worth anything, but with that paper he was going to be able to get a lot of money, and now he's not going to be able to get. So that's Dina de Garmi. So Rameir is doing Dina de Garmi. This is a similar thing that I'm ruining or taking away this dirt and these pebbles that otherwise could have been helpful to him. Tosfos quotes the sheet of the Rivan that the Chiyuv is only according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds Dover Garmin the Mammon is Kamamun Dami. So these pebbles and these pieces of dirt is the Dover Agorim the Mammon, meaning it's not Mammon, it doesn't have any value, but it's something that can cause me to be able to get money. And therefore, if you hold Dover Agorim the Mammon is Kamamun Dami, that's why he's going to have to pay. So three basic sheetos in Rishonim about why the guy will have to pay if he pulls out the dirt and the pebbles from the produce of a mocher. Either it's direct hezek, because I'm being mazik something that's actually valuable that this guy is going to sell as wheat, or it's garmi, or it's davar gorim lemamon, and therefore kimamon dami. But bottom line is, you see that it's not just the beans that can be mixed in with your wheat. You can have actual dirt mixed in with your wheat. So Gemara says, no, Rav Katina does not mean to say that this whole inyan of accepting a certain amount doesn't apply to dirt. He's coming to explain the difference between the measurements of the acceptable amounts. That kitnis rova afruris pachos kitnis rova afruris pachos mirova. That if what's mixed in with your wheat are some beans, you're willing to accept a rova. If what's mixed in a rova akav for each sa'a. If what's mixed in is not beans but it's dirt, it's garbage, it's pebbles. So then yes, you're willing to accept a certain amount, but it's less than a rova. I mean, there's a less of an acceptable amount that you're willing to have in the peros that you're buying. So says Mar Vafruris Rova Lo, when it comes to dirt and pebbles and things like that, you're not willing to accept an amount of a rova in your of a rova akav in your sa vatanya. But didn't we learn in a brisa hamocher peros lechavero, if a guy is selling peros to somebody else, chitin mekabelov rova kitnis l'sa. If he's selling him wheat, the lokeach is willing to accept a quarter of a kav of kitnis for each sa'a. Sa'orim, if he's selling him barley, mekabelov rova nishovas l'sa'a, he's willing to accept a quarter of a kav of straw for each sa'a. Adashim, if he's selling him lentils, mekabelov rova afruris l'sa'a, he's willing to accept a quarter of a kav of pebbles and dirt for each sa'a. So the Gemara assumes that when the Brisa says afruris in connection to adashim, it's because we're picking the most normal thing to happen to that type of produce. That by tavua, the most normal thing to find in the tavua is kitnis, and nishoves is normal to be found in sa'orim, and afruris is normal to be found in adashim. So the Gemara says, okay, so just like by adashim, a person the normal thing to find mixed in with adashim is afruris, and the amount of afruris you're willing to accept in adashim is a rova akav for each sa'a. So my love, whether the chitim l'sa'orim, isn't that same amount of afruris also going to be acceptable for chitim and sa'orim? That if you buy the chitim and sa'orim as well, it's not only kitnis that you're willing to accept in the amount of a rova akav, you're willing to accept afruris as well in the amount of a rova akav. So says more, no, shiny adashim demi akar akri luhu. Adashim are different. Adashim you're willing to accept dirt and pebbles, because the way that they take adashim is they just yank it out of the ground. So since the way that they harvest it is they pull it out of the ground, so dirt naturally comes up. When you then stuff it into a bag, obviously there's going to be some dirt there. So therefore, someone who buys adashim understands that there's going to be some dirt mixed in. But if I'm buying chitim, I'm buying sa'orim, I don't have any expectation of any dirt being in there, and therefore I'm not willing to accept up to a rova akav el time da adashim. So it sounds like the only reason that by adashim it's you're willing to accept a rova akav is the miyakar akri luhu. It's because we are oker it from its root. We just uproot it from the ground, and therefore there's a lot of dirt that's already that's going to be gathered together with it. Aval chiti v'sa'ari. But if it's wheat or barley, then lo. Then you're not going to find dirt. There's no expectation of dirt. Okay, so now I have a raya. Tifshot mina. We should bring a raya from there. That chiti v'sari dafruris lo mekabel, that a person is not mekabel the rova akav of dirt, because if in those minim you're willing to be mekabel a rova akav, then the Tana should have mentioned that. It should have mentioned that you're willing to accept afruris by chitim and sa'orim, and then I would have known that of course you're willing to accept it by adashim, which is more standard. So the fact that the Tana didn't mention afruris by chitim and sa'orim is a raya that you're not willing to accept a rova akav of afruris by chitim and sa'orim. So maybe it's a raya in the other direction. So says Marli Olam, Chiti Yusari Mekabel Afruris. Maybe really one can suggest that even when it comes to Chiti Masa'arim, you're willing to accept a Rova Akav of Afruris for each Sa'a. Why does the Tana mention Afruris only in the context of Adashim and not in the context of Chiti Masa'arim? Adashim is Shrichalei. It's trying to tell me a Chiddush when it comes to Adashim. The Salkat Haitichamina. I might have had a Hav Minikiv in the Me'akar Akrilu, that since they're Oker with the roots and the dirt that's in them, so even Yosim Rovanami Lekabel, that the guy is going to be willing to accept even more than a Rova Akav for each Sa'a, so Kamash Malan. That's why he wanted to tell me that there are Rova Akav of Afruris in the context of Adashim, to tell me that that's it, that's only a Rova Akav that he's willing to accept, but even though they are uprooted from the ground, then there's naturally going to be expected to be some dirt mixed in, you're still not going to accept more than a Rova Akav of dirt when it comes to the Adashim. So now the Gemara discusses what happens if they find more than a Rova Hakav, and the Lokeach says, wait a second, this is not okay, we need to sift this out. So now, do you sift it out enough to get it down to a Rova Hakav of Afruris or Tinofes for each Sa'a, or do you sift it out more? Do you have to sift it out 100%? Do you have to sift it out completely? The Rashba writes that it's Mistaver, that the difference between Nimtza Rova or Yeser Al Rova is Dafka B'Tinofes. But when it comes to a Martif of Yayin or Kankanim, you can't say the Svaros that we're going to say in the Hemshech of the Gemara. So certainly by such things we'd say Adasara, meaning the Mishnah had said that when you buy a wine cellar, so you're willing to accept up to 10 barrels out of every 100 that are sour. When you buy the jugs from Sharon, you're willing to accept 10 jugs out of every 100 that are substandard. So the Rashba says that if you find more than 10 out of every 100 in those cases, then for sure you can only insist that it be that you be compensated up until you get to the point of 10. And once you say that, oh, there are 12 out of the 100 jugs were no good, you can't have them replace all 12. That you can only have them replace two of them with high quality stuff, and you can get back to the acceptable amount. Our shail is dafka when it comes to the first case of the Mishnah where you were buying tavua, you were buying grain, so a rova hakav within a sa of grain can be tinofes. So now I found that it's more than a rova hakav of tinofes. So I said, we're going to sift it out. So now we're going to discuss, once we sift it out, you sift it all out. So Amar Rav Huna, in Baldenapos, if the Lokeach is going to be makbid about this Tinofes, that it's more than Rov HaKav for each Sa'a, and they begin to be menapa from the Tinofes, from the Tavua, and they find more than a Rov HaKav, menapa is kulo. Then they got to clear out all the Tinofes, and the Mocher will return chitim more money to the guy, and he can't say to the Lokeach, you already were mochel me a rova, and I'm only going to give you the extra up and beyond a rova. So amri ladina, varmi lakanasa. That halacha is a dispute whether it is a din or whether it is a kanas. Is it me ikra din, or is it just a kanas that the chamman imposed, but is not me ikra din? So meaning the kanas that they imposed on the mocher, that now your stuff better be pristine, since you tried to pass off something that was so bad, that was so substandard, now it has to be 100% perfect. So Amri Ladino, some say that it's an actual maker adin, because Mandi of Zuzi Apiri Shapiri Yahiv. Someone gives money for payros, he's makbid that really he should have perfectly good payros. Why then do we accept up until a Rova Hakav of Tinofes? Verova lo tarich inish. Really, the Lokeach is entitled to all of the payros being perfect, all of the payros being good. It's just that a person's not tarech, a person's not going to be tarech at the time that he's buying something to sift out such a small amount of tinofes. So since he's not interested in that tircha, he's willing to be mochel on the discovery of that tinofes. But once you got to sift it out anyway, he's going to insist that it all gets sifted out. He's going to be makbid on all of it. The Rashbam understands that that's what it means, that when we say rova lo tarech inish, it's saying that it's not the derech of the lokeach to be toreach to clear out a up to a rova kav. And the mocher says to the lokeach, I said these peros are good, and if you say they're not good, so go ahead and sift them out or bring a raya. How much of it is not good, and I'll reimburse you for that. So the lokeach typically is going to say, you know what, it's not worth, you know, for a rova kav, it's not worth trying to prove it. It's not worth having this conversation and being able to prove that there's a half of a rova of a kav within the sa'a that I need to get reimbursed for. And therefore, there's a presumed mechila. But once the lokeach is not willing to be mochel, so min hadin, he has every right to be demanding of the mocher. That is the way the Rashbam understands. The Rashba and the Ritva say that no, it's not that it's ein derech, that it's not the derech of the lokeach to be toreach, but it's not the derech of the mocher. When he takes his stuff to market to be toreach, to sift it all out, there's a slight difference between the Rashba and the Ritva in how they present it. That the Rashba writes that since the mocher is not toreach, memelu the lokeach is mochel. The Ritva writes that the mechila of the lokeach is because he's not interested in fighting. He's not interested in coming to a din Torah for pachos mirova akav. It's just not worth it for him to fight about it. So the Rishonim writes that if the Rashbam is right, that the toreach means that the lokeach is not toreach to be menapeh, so they say that can't be true, because at the end of the day, he's going to have to be tarech to be menapa, because there's no way that when it comes to grinding the wheat and making flour, he's not going to, right? You think of the Sidur de Pas and the Malachos of Shabbos. At some point, you got to sift it out, right? There's going to be Borer, and there's going to be Zora, and there's going to be Merakid, and there's going to, right? You're going to have all of these things where you're going to have to sit, where it sifts and sifts and sifts and clears out, right? That's what the Gemara says in Shabbos, Hainu Borer, Hainu Zora, Hainu Merakid, that they're all the same basic Malacha, that it's sifting out all the junk. So you sift out all the garbage anyway. So you're going to have to do that anyway. So what? The Lokech is not going to be Torech? Of course the Lokech is going to be Torech. So that's why this group of Rishonim say that when we say that he's not going to be Torech, it must be about the Mocher not being Torech, because the Lokech is anyway going to have to be Torech. Whereas Rashbam would probably say, not now. He'll be Torech when it's time to be Torech. Now he's in the market. He just wants to get the stuff in the grocery bags and get it in the trunk of his car and get home. He does it later. He'll deal with when it comes time to baking his bread. He'll figure out how to be Torech to do those things. Okay, but Yosim Arova Tarechinish. But if it's more than a Rova Akav for each Sa'a, then a person will be Torech to sift it out properly. Bekiven to Tarach. And once he's doing it anyway, Tarach Bekule, he'll remove all of the impurities, because that's easy. Once you're doing it, you might as well do it. So therefore, even on that little bit, he's not going to be mochel, because the only reason he's mochel is because it's just not worth his time to be tarech. But once he's being tarech anyway, he can insist on it fully. So that's the shita, that it's a din. V'armi lo knas. But then there are those that say that it's not a din, it's a knas. And the reason for the knas is rova shchiach. Up to a rova kav of tinofes is a normal thing to happen by accident, meaning it's understood that there's going to be a certain amount of dirt, a certain amount of pebbles, or a certain amount of beans, whatever it might be, that's mixed in to this grain. So yoser lo shchiach. To have more than a rova kav, it's unnatural. It's not at all common. V'yudarev. And therefore, we suspect that the mocher was padding his quantities by throwing some dirt into each bag of grain. Once he's trying to get away with that, v'kivin darev, since the mocher is throwing in dirt, his bags of grain that he's selling, konsur rabbanim b'kule. The rabbanim make a knas, and they make him pay for all of it, even the acceptable amount, even the part that was natural, even the part that he couldn't have prevented easily, even that he's going to have to pay for. The Rashbam and the Yad Ramah write that according to this din, if we know that it happened on its own, then even if it's more than a rova, then there's going to be mechila. Meaning, what's enough community between dina and knasa over here? So the Rashbam and the Yad Ramah write, if it's a knas, you only impose a knas on somebody when they did something wrong. If it's a din, so it's a din. Whether you did something wrong or not, you have to follow the din. So if the guy did nothing wrong, and we know that it's just the nature of the crop, the nature of whatever happened, and it wasn't something that he had done. So then if it's a kanas, we're not gonna be kodesh him. So the Ran raises the question that maybe the mocher himself didn't mix in the dirt, but since there's more than a rova, it is the derech for people to be makbid on. So because therefore the lokeach should still be able to say this is unacceptable to me. I mean, You think he's not going to be makbir? Let's say it's 80% dirt. You know, and the mochik said, "Not my fault, not your fault, but you can't sell that to me." Meaning, there's going to be a point where he's going to be makbir. So the Ran writes that even according to the sheet that it's mishum knas, the difference between knas and din is that if it's din, you need to clear out all of it. But if it's a knas and the guy did nothing wrong, then he needs to clear out up until the Rav HaKav, meaning he needs to get it down to the acceptable amount. We're not going to be konesim that he has to get it down to zero, that he's got to get it down to no dirt, but he has to get it down to less than the acceptable, to the minimal amount, to the acceptable amount that people are willing to take. So that's the nafka mina between din and knas. From the Rambam, the Ran has been taught from the Rambam that even if he holds midin knas, if there's more than a rova, even if it happened on its own, they have to be menapes hakol. They have to clear it all out. So the Ran explains that according to the Rambam, the Rabbanim were not mechalik b'takanasim, whether you mixed it in yourself or not. Once they made the knas, they made the knas. That if there's more than a rova, you got to clear it all out. Then what's the difference between Dina and Knasa? Meaning if the Ran is medayik that the Rambam holds, that even if the guy did nothing wrong, we're going to make it pure and pristine and perfect, and he's going to clear it all out. So that's what you got to do if it's Din. So then what's the nafkamina between whether it's Din and it's Knas? So he says that, like Rabbeinu Chananel says, that if it's Mikra Din, then we can learn from here to other places. Because dinim, you can compare one to the other. But knasim knasa lo yalfinan. We cannot use this as a basis for any sort of limud to other places. The Ritva points out a more fundamental nafkamina. We're not govid knasos in Bavel. We're only govid knasos in Eretz Yisrael. So it's if a knas, then it's an Eretz Yisrael dikadin. If it's a din, then it applies everywhere. So it's not about the amount that's nafkamina, whether it's a knas or a din. Meaning it's very important to all of the Rishonim to find a nafkamina, whether it's din or a knas, right? Meaning once we say that if it was more than the acceptable amount, you got to clear it all out, right? It's very important to find a nafkamina, whether that is mitam din or mitam knas, because the Gemara is going to spend the whole rest of the daf and tomorrow's daf on that topic. So obviously the Gemara was very concerned about this. So it must be that there's some nafkamina la halacha. So either nafkamina la halacha is in how clean you need to make it when the guy didn't do anything wrong and it happened by accident, or the nafkamina la halacha is, like we said, is whether we're govin bavel or not. So now we get into the rayas. Meisvei, so they bring raya number one is a Mishnah Maseches Klayim. Kol sa'a sheyesh barova, any sa'a of a particular type of grain that has a rova akav, mi minacher of another type. You have a sa'a of chitim that has a rova akav of sa'orim mixed in, so then prior to the zriya, or even after it, before it takes root, you take away from the amount of the sa'orim until it's less than a rova, and that's enough that it shouldn't violate kalayim. There's a mission in kalayim, that you're not allowed to have two minim planted together. So I have some amount of seeds of barley mixed in with my wheat, so I need to take it down to less than a rova. So savrua the rova de klayim kiyosim rova de hacha. So the assumption was made that a rova that will asr mishum klayim, that shir is a shir of chashivos min haTorah, and it's like more than a rova over here when it comes to mekach. That just like when we find to mekach, when we find in dine mekach umemkar, the chashivos that more than a rova has, the tinofes is not going to be batel in the sa'a of grain, and the mocher is going to have to sift it out. And by klayim, even when it's less than that, the less than the amount of a rova has a chashivus, and therefore it's not going to be batel, and it's going to ask the tarovus min haTorah v'katani. And yet, what does it say to do when you have some of the sa'orim mixed in with the yichitim? Yema'it, that you need to be mema'it from the amount that's aser, and make it less than that to take away its chashivus. So why in the din of Rav Huna, when it comes to the mekach, is it not enough just to be mema'it, to bring it down to less than a rova? Why when it comes to the mekach, do we make you remove all of it? So isn't that a raya, therefore, that the din by mekach umemkar must be a knas? That the fact that we make you remove all of it must not be minadin, because if it was minadin, then it should carry over to other areas of halacha, such as kalayim. So this is more look. Rova to kalayim ki rova da achadami. The rova within kalayim is similar to a rova legabi and mekach. By both of them, a rova doesn't aser, and therefore the by kalayim it's enough to be mimait to pachas mi rova. Says Mar'i Well, then what do you need to be mayit for if it doesn't ask her anyway? Mishum chumra deklayim, a special chumra by klayim that you have to be mayit. Ihachi, if that's the case, that it's only mishum chumra deklayim that you're mayit, and it's not meikra adin, ema seifa, go read weiter in that Mishnah and klayim, and how you can explain the rest of the Mishnah where it says Rabbi Yossi Omer, that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Chachamim, and he holds that a rova akav that gets mixed in with another min, yavor, you have to totally clear out the entire min. It's not enough to be mima'it and to make it less than a rova. But according to you, why does Rabbi Yossi disagree and require you to sift out everything? So, iyar mipishlama, if you're going to say that I was right, that a rova of klayim is ki yosim, a rova tinofas dami, is similar to more than a rova of tinofas when it comes to mekach umemkar. So the rova is going to actually aser in dine klayim. So, bahakam ifligi, now I understand what the machlokas would be between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. That Tanakama sov a lo kansin and hetera atu isura. Tanakama says we do not make a knas to take away from the tavua even the less than a rova that's mutter because of the shear of the rova that's aser, and it's good enough to just bring it down to acceptable quantities of contamination of this min. Rabbi Yossi sovra, and Rabbi Yossi says that kansin, we're going to make a knas and we're going to aser the tavua until you remove the entire contamination of the other min, the entire mixture. Eli iamet karova dami. But if you're going to say that when it comes to klayim, it's similar to a rova, when it comes to dirt, that meikra adin, it's mutter, and the only reason you can be memayit is only a chumra, a mayavar. Why would Rabbi Yossi add another chumra on top of a chumra to make it clear it out entirely? So says Gemara, you're right. Meikra adin a rova in klayim is mutter. When they said to be memayit, it's only a chumra. But hasam had the time with Rabbi Yossi. You know why Rabbi Yossi added another chumra al gabe that chumra? Meaning, really, it would not have been a klayim problem even to begin with. So the Tanakhama says you might, but an extra chumra and klayim take away some of the foreign min, take away some of the cross contamination. You know why Rabbi Yossi says you have to do even more than that? Mishum demechzi kimakayim klayim. Once we make you do something, once we make you take away some of the foreign min, so then it's ki'ilu, we're making a statement that we view this on some level like klayim. Once we view it on some level like klayim, it looks terrible if you leave some of it there. So that it looks like you're interested in this tarovus and that you're being mekayim klayim biyodayim, and being mekayim klayim biyodayim is asur min haTorah. So that we don't want to give that impression. Okay, so that is raya number one. So now the Gemara says, Tashamat, let's bring another raya that we're not kones the extra because of that which is asr. It says in the Mishnah Maseches Bamitzia, Shnayim shivkidu etalechem, if two people give a pikadon of money to one guy, ze mana vze masayim. One guy gave $100 to be watched, the other one gave $200 to be watched. And afterwards, when they came time to collect their respective Pikdonos, ze omer masayim shli, ze omer masayim shli. Naturally, each guy comes and says, "Oh, the $200. Now I was the one that gave you $200. So what do? Nosin lezem mana lezem mana. Each one is owed at least $100. That you know for sure. So give each one $100. Vashar, and that third $100 that you don't know who to give to, yemuna chatsiyava Eliyahu. Just leave it aside until Eliyahu Navi comes and is mivar for us who it belongs to, or until they can come up with some agreement between them, or until one of them admits, meaning obviously if they can resolve it themselves, and one of them says I was lying, or they say this is ridiculous, why should we just leave it here? I don't have such emunah, b'chol yom shayavo, so I'd rather we split it 50-50 than it be sitting there. So they come up with some sort of agreement, but you see that we don't make a knas on the moser because of the aser, meaning we don't make a knas on the extra because of the aser, or on the part that's mutter because of the part that's aser. Meaning here you have $100, I'm really owed. Okay, so I'm going to get the $100. We don't make a knas on the guy that's lying that he's not going to get his $100 because of the lie that he's telling. So don't you see over here also, if there's an acceptable amount, we shouldn't make a knas on that acceptable amount just because there was more than the acceptable amount that you're cleaning out. So says Marano Hachi Hashta, you can't compare pikadon to the tinofes in Mekach Memkar. Hasam, in the case of the pikadon, vade manal mar, umanal mar. I know for sure each of them is deserving of a mana. So the heter, you're for sure not going to be kones. But hacha, when it comes to the dirt, the heter itself is a suffix. Maybe the crop was extra clean that year, and that was really annoying to the farmer, because normally he could sell dirt. So he threw in all the dirt, maybe even up to the acceptable. I mean, there doesn't have to be a rovakav in every of grain. Maybe even that initial rovakav was dirt that he threw in. So maybe all of it is aser. So that's why we're going to be kones. So Tashema says, well, let's bring a third raya, miseifa, from the seifa of the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi didn't like this idea of taking the pikadon and giving $100, $100, and the third $100 leaving it aside. Im kein mahifsan ramai. He says, what would anyone have to lose out from lying? Anytime this happens, the guy who gave $100 loses nothing by saying he's the one that gave $200, because he's going to get his $100 back anyway. So, and he might as well roll the dice, take his chances, and see if he can force a pshara out of the other guy and get an extra $50. No, so Rabbi Yossi says all of it is munachat sheyava elio to make sure that the Ramai loses out. So you see that we do make a knas on that which is mutter because of that which is aser. So we make a knas on the $100 that he's actually owed because of that which is aser. So says Mar Hachi Hash, how can you bring a raya to that from the din of mekach memkar when you're selling grain that has a contamination of beans in it? Hasam vade ikur Ramai. In the case of the two pikdonos, one of them is for sure lying, because one guy gave only $100. So since you know that there is a Ramai, we know without a doubt that there is a Ramai, so it makes sense that in that case we're going to impose a knas. But who can tell us for sure that the mocher mixed any of this tinofes in? Maybe it just happened, that it all happened by itself, and even more than a rova. So it's not a vadai, it's a suspicion. That normal, it's the derech to have up until a rova. It's abnormal to have more than a rova, but it is possible. It is possible that you have more than a rova. So the Gemara wants to bring another raya to the sheet that it's mishum knas, and the Gemara rejects this raya as well. I've got what number raya we're up to. I think it's number 4. So Tashima says the Gemara we'll bring a raya from a Tosefta in Bamitzia that relates to the dinim of ribis. Shtar sheish bo ribis. If you have a shtar that it says that someone borrowed 100 zuz, and the deal was he's going to pay back 200 zuz at a certain time. So mamish, straight up ribis, right? The shtar is a direct ribis shtar. So konsin oso, we're konis the malva, ve'inu gove, loes hakeren, ve'loes haribis. Divrei Meir, that the malva is not even gove the keren, let alone the ribis. So you see, raya, that even though minadin, there's no reason he shouldn't be able to be gove the keren, we make a knas on that which is mutter because of that which is aser. That here the keren is absolutely mutter, he's allowed to, and the rabbanon only disagree with Rav Meir because the keren is vadai heter. But when the heter itself is a suffek, l'chara they'd be moda, the Adrama points out. So it's not even that we're only bringing a raya l'fishitas Rav Meir. Even the chum who disagree in that case is because they say that the guy should be able to collect the keren. That's because we know for sure that the keren was mutter. In the case of the dirt, we don't know for sure that this guy didn't throw in the first rova akav of dirt either. So even the chacham would be moda that we'd be kones the mutter atu the aser. So says Gemara hachi hashta. You cannot compare the two cases. Hasam in the shtar that has ribis mishas ksivu davalei shuma. At the time of the writing of the shtar, they already made the ribis assessment and he already violated the aser. So we're going to make a knas on the davar mutter because he already did the iser. But hach, over here, when it comes to the tinofes, it's mixed in the tvuah, miyem et haruvi arif, can you really say bevadai that the owner of the tvuah mixed in any of this dirt? So since there's no vadai that he had done anything wrong, so we're not going to make a kenas on him. So we wanted to bring a raya that we were going to be kones the mutter atu the aser. So we said, no, that's only by ribis, where we know for sure the second that he wrote such a shtar, he was doing something terribly, terribly wrong. So, but over here, we're not going to make such a knas. Tashema will do another raya. Miseifa. The Chacham said, "Goves haker veino goves haribis." In this exact exact case with the shtar that has ribbis written into it, you could be gover the carrot, but you're not gover the ribbis. So we see we're not koneis the mutter to the aser, that the mutter is still mutter. So it says, no, hachi hashta, you cannot compare these two dinim. Hasam vaday karna deheterahu. In the case of the shtar that has ribbis, the karen is for sure a halva'a of heter. You're allowed to get back your karen. You're allowed to get back the money that you loaned. But hacha, when it comes to the tinofas that has the tevua with dirt mixed, the tinofas mixed into the tevua, mi yemer de kule lo iruve arv. Can you really say bevaday that the Bala Sada himself didn't mix this tinofas in? So since there's more than the normal amount, it's reglaim ledover that he mixed something in. So if he mixed something in, he could have mixed it all in. So since there's a suffix even on the heter itself, so then it makes sense that we're going to be kones the heter in such a case as well. So that's from tomorrow. We'll pick up with further rayas in this discussion, whether it's Dina or whether it is Kenasa. Good day and good Shabbos, everybody.